Religion, they say don't say Tachlon because it's a time of the Bin Mikdash. I would like to say that, well, it's a coincidence that they chose the spirit of the Mikdash. So, again, I think it's this very intricate and important connection between Yom Kippur and Shul. So, it's certainly very appropriate that the day after, that, you know, just as we built the Sukkah at night, we started taking our boards out last night, and then the neighbors got a little upset. But, so you have to, I guess, calculate that in as well. I'm sure here in Teaneck, everybody's building their Sukkah. There's no one to scream at you. But another way of, I guess, highlighting this connection is to have a shiur the morning after on Inyane Sukkah. So I thought, in light of that I would begin with the issue of building the Sukkah, even though my topic is really sitting in the Sukkah. So one is really just a prelude to the other. The Gemara in Sukkah, Anaf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, has a really very interesting discussion about the proper time to say Shehechiyanu in terms of the Kedushas Hayoma, Sukkos, and the building of the Sukkah. The Gemara says that Ha'osa Sukkah Liatzma, Omer Baruch Shehechiyanu, Hekimanu Vigiyanu, Nichnas Leisheva, Omer Hashekin Shana, Betosa Vitzivanu, Leisheva Sukkah. This is the Gemara Mem Vav Amud Aleph in Sukkah. Basically, we're being told that when you make a sukkah, you should say Shehechiyanu. Okay. Most of us, again, whether we started last night or we will start or do enough today, most of us do not make a Shehechiyanu when we build our sukkah. Later on in the Gemara, on the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara revisits this idea, and the Gemara says, Torah Banu, Osa Sukkah Liatzmo, Omer Baruch Shehechiyanu, Nichnas Leisheva Omer Baruch Hashem Kedushanu. Right? If the sukkah is already made, then in Yochal Echadish B'davar B'varech, if you can do something to, I guess, some addition, something that qualifies as Asiyas HaSukkah, you'll still say the Shehechiyanu. Imlav L'Kasheikanes Leisheba B'varech Shtayim. So then, if not, then the first time you do the mitzvah of sukkah, which this year will be Wednesday night, the first time you sit in the sukkah, you'll make the Brachah Leisheba sukkah, and you'll also make the Shehechiyanu. There's a little fascinating little Tosis here. Tosis says, Mitlo Kamer B'varach Shtayim. It doesn't seem that, in other words, it seems that if you did make the Shehechiyanu when you built your sukkah, as opposed to the first time you sat in your sukkah, the implication would be that you don't make a Shehechiyanu the first time that you sit in the sukkah. Right? Kediktani Seifa Ba'asuya Ve'omedes, Vein Yochal Echadish Ba'davar, Ma'ashma D'Nafik, Aha D'Birech Asiyah Shehechiyanu. The Tema, says Tosis, the Tepa clay, the Mevarach Mishum Yom Tov, Kevoshim Mevarachin, a Yom Tov, the Pesach, the Atzeres, but call Shar Yomim Tovim. All Yom Tovim is a Shehechiyanu. Right? Even with regard to Yom Kippur, the Gemara Erev in Daf Mem has a suffix whether you say Shehechiyanu we Paschal, you do say Shehechiyanu on Yom Kippur. So, what happened to the Shehechiyanu for Kedushas Hazman? So, we shouldn't give different answers to this question. The Balei Tosfos say, Meshema, Kim the sukkah machmas chag kaasi, right? We're building a sukkah not for our good health, and not necessarily, especially in this part of the year, to take advantage of the weather. We're only building the sukkah for the sake of the mitzvah. So svarahu dizman dida apapi shabirich bechol pateru after chag dizman ki kaasi machmas moed kaasi apilu biyomto below yomto. So it's a very fascinating tosis. Tosis is question. Is already disturbing, right, in terms of what we normally associate, but Tosis doesn't reject it in the answer at all. On the contrary, Tosis says, since the building of the sukkah is connected with the chag, so the Shehechiyanu of the sukkah is sufficient. In the end of the Gemara goes a little bit further, and the Gemara says that Omer Rav Ashi Chazino Leilu Rav Kahana Dekamar Lo Lekulu Hakasa Dekidusha. Rav Kahana used to say, Shehechiyanu on the Kol Shel Kiddush on the night, the first night where you perform the mitzvah, which is what we all do. We're just, so habituated to doing that when we read this Gemara, it's a little bit surprising. Okay, so what's going on with this Gemara and this Tosis? It already raises an important question, and that's twofold. Number one, it seems like we're putting a significant emphasis on the building of the sukkah. Again, same Gemara speaks about ha'osa lulav, other things also requiring Shehechiyanu. So maybe a little bit it needs to be understood in context. In other words, our two issues, overlapping issues here. One is how we relate to the building of the sukkah, and the other is a shechianu issue, right? Anything mitzura, if anything connected with the chag is sufficient to say shechianu, or something which has a certain measure of significance. So admittedly, we have to analyze the other or the parallel cases at the same time. But either way, it's striking that a siyas ha-sukkah is given this kind of prominence, especially according to Tosis's analysis, that it seems that this might be sufficient for the Kedushas Hayom Zman that we normally anticipate. Again, is that typical as well, or is that something that is unique to the relationship between the building of the sukkah or the chetz of the sukkah and the chag? At least these are questions to ask. We don't have so much time today to pursue all the answers, but at least we'll be suggesting one approach. Lahalacha, the Gemara seems to have two options in the Gemara. Either you can be Masadar HaKol HaKasa V'Kiddusha, right, or you can do it in this way. There's Machlokas or Rishonim, which are preferred. The Rush seems to say, and that's a simple reading of the Gemara, that, you know, Ha'osa Sukkah Li'atzmo, that you really make the Shechianu at that point. The Rambam seems to have adopted the last line of the Gemara, the line of Rav Kahana. This is certainly what we do. We're Masadar everything HaKasa V'Kiddusha. But the fact that the simple reading of the Gemara and some Rishonim think that the preference remains with Asiya is surely significant. The Mordechai, on the spot, has also a very interesting comment. The Mordechai says that Bismanenu, not everybody builds a sukkah, because some people contract out the building of their sukkah, and therefore, even if you build your own sukkah, you should no longer make the bracha of Shechianu on the building of the sukkah. That's also a little bit strange. Now again, one way to understand the Mordechai is on a purely practical level, maybe a kind of a low plug, since not everybody's building their sukkah, so you don't want it to be chucha or tlula, right? So just across the board, you might as well go for the akasa de kiddusha option. That wouldn't be very exciting, but it's possible that that's what he means. I prefer to think that he means something a little different, and I admit that I prefer to think that. And that is that somehow the reality that a lot of people, a significant population, I don't know whether it's majority or a significant minority, no longer build their sukkah, somehow that redefines, right, the way in which we look at the building of the sukkah. And consequently, if we don't look at it, if we don't perceive it as having the same kind of role, not everybody is personally building their sukkah or feels the need to do so, somehow that transforms that performance for everyone, even for the people who are laboring to put up their sukkahs. Even for them, it's a different experience, since across the board, that's not typically what's happening in the Jewish community. Now, that kind of, pragmatic, reassessment, as the result of some pragmatic consideration, is that we redefine or relate differently to the performance is not unheard of. It's always very challenging to explain that, but it needs to be explained. I mean, why does the fact that majority or significant minority no longer build their own sukkah, why would that change the way in which we relate to the question when it comes to Shechiyah? So I want to get back to that as well. The Yerushalmi, I should just mention, in Brachos, Tes Gimel, Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, suggests that the sukkah doesn't just demand a Shechiyanu, the building of the sukkah, but it also has its own bracha. Make a bracha on the asiyas hasukkah. Again, like I mentioned with regard to Shechiyanu and the Bavli, you have to take first glance. This is very, very shocking. It needs to be understood in context. The Yerushalmi, probably based on the Tosefta, was of the opinion that when you put together a certain chafetz shel mitzvah, you make such a bracha. Tefillin, again, lulav, tzitzis. It's not only sukkah. However, it's not everything either. Again, we don't paskin this way. The Gemara in Menachos on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph suggests that Ein Ba'asiyasa Gemar Mitzvasa, if there's more to do, then we don't make a bracha on the putting together or on the creation of the Chetzah Shel Mitzvah, and that's how we paskin as well. But it's just noteworthy that together with Tzitzis and Lulav and a few other things, that at least according to the Yerushalmi, the building of the sukkah gets not only a Shechiyanu, but a separate kind of Birchas HaMitzvah, notwithstanding Ein Ba'asiyasa Gemar Mitzvah. So obviously this works much better if you think that this isn't a Hechsher B'Yalma, it isn't just a necessary precondition to later fulfilling the mitzvah, but that there is some intrinsic value to the performance, to the building of the sukkah itself. The Shiltos, a very famous comment, says this explicitly. The Mechaibin Kol Beis Yisrael Lemivna Metalosa Veleshepa. So the Shiltos, when he formulates sukkah, suggests that the mitzvah includes the building of the sukkah. Build the sukkah and sit in it. The sitting in it is stage two. The building is already a mitzvah. The famous discussion of the Netziv in the Shiltos and elsewhere, but especially in the Shiltos, the Netziv says that whenever the Torah seems itself to relate to some sort of a hechsher, that hechsher has a elevated status. So for example, we say things like a mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha. So normally we refer to real mitzvahs, we don't refer to hechsher mitzvahs. So the Netziv's the theory is that when it's one of those hechsher mitzvahs that the Torah itself seems to, you know, impute greater significance to, then that hechsher mitzvah also has the rule of mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha. It's better to do it personally than to do it by remote control or through an agent. There are other issues as well that the Netziv thinks as reason makdim and the mitzvos will apply to such hechsherim as well. So while he doesn't go as far as the she'iltos to suggest that the building of a sukkah is actually a mitzvah, it seems like the Netziv is acknowledging some in-between status, that this isn't a regular hechsher mitzvah, this is an elevated hechsher mitzvah. And surely that's important as well. Yeah?
How does the Chumash weigh to it as a... Is there a specific reference to the...
Well, it's Chag HaSukkos Tasalukah. We'll get to that in a second. So is that on the Chag or the Chag HaSukkos Tasalukah? He thinks Chag HaSukkos Tasalukah...
It's said by other Chagim too, right?
We'll get to it in a second. I think that the point is more that... I'll just read the Pesukim in just a minute. But the focus on Yeshiva Pesukah is only in this... I'll tell you now. Is in the second Parsha of Sukkah in Emor. In other words, Emor is the locus classicus for the delineating the Moedim, as we know. And all of the Moedim are organized according to time of the year. So the first rendition of Sukkahs, every one of the Moedim is discussed once, with the exception of Sukkahs, which is discussed twice. And the parsha is all over. So we have Ach, the Chamisha, so yeah, I'll read it just a second. Then you have a second rendition of Sukkahs. But in the first rendition of Sukkahs, which is parallel to all the other Moadim, right, you don't have anything about Yeshiva B'Sukkah. The Sukkahs Teshu, Shivas Yamim, which is about the Yeshiva B'Sukkah, is only in the Ach, that little addendum, which is also the first time that we have reference to the Dalet meaning. I'll read it inside just a second. So I think that is, although he doesn't say it so much, and you're right, because you would have expected, based on what the Tziv says, that there'd be a specific reference to the building of the sukkah in the Torah, like we have that in Tzitzis, let's say. And it's not quite that, but it isn't Yeshiva B'sukkah either, and I think that's really what caught his eye, even though he doesn't say that, but it's a good point. Okay, this idea of the building of the sukkah, let me just, yeah.
I'm just a little confused by this nature of Shechiano and Binyan. I hire a guy to build my sukkah. Yeah. Do I make a Shechiano?
Well, the point of the Mordechai certainly is that that he's saying, because most people don't build their sukkahs personally, nobody should say Shechiyah. It's not clear. In the Gemara itself, that's what the Mordechai is saying.
Yeah.
Even the Mordechai might say, if a few people hire somebody to build their sukkah, maybe they should say Shechiyah.
It just seems to amplify
as they're
the whole
sipping
notion.
Their coffee or whatever it is and watching.
It seems to amplify the whole notion of how is the binyan.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Okay. So I think it's connected to what we're discussing. This idea that binyan hasukkah is more than a hechsher, but is sometimes referred to as a mitzvah, is reflected in two other makaros, at least explicitly in two others, and implicitly in many more others. The Mishnah, the end of the third parak of Shavuos, Daf Chaf Tes of an Aleph, speaks about the issue of nishva levatel es hamitzvah. Right, if a person normally a shvuah, an oath, a binding oath, right, only applies in neutral topics. Right, something which is umishus, you're not supposed to make a shvua on something which is superfluous. Nishba lekayim es hamitzvah. If I get up and I say, I hereby swear that I'm going to sit in sukkah, so I'm going to fast on Yom Kippur, etc. So that's called nishba lekayim es hamitzvah. And the opposite is nishba lebatel es hamitzvah. Let's say I get up and I say, I'm going to eat on Yom Kippur, right? I'm not going to sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. That's called nishba lebatel es hamitzvah. So the Mishnah tries to illustrate examples. They want to illustrate what is Nishba Levatel Samit. So they have a bunch of cases. In the case of Sukkah, they mention somebody who gets up and says, I refuse to build the Sukkah. That's very strange, right? Because they really should have said in the Mishnah, I refuse to sit in the Sukkah, because that's the mitzvah. Similarly, in the Gemara in Masechet Ksuvos, Pei Zayin and Aleph, so then the Gemara speaks about kfiya b'mitzvahs. Right? Sometimes, you know, in the olden times, you know, when there was a Beis Din and, you know, Jews had a certain, you know, sense of discipline and commitment, so there actually was religious coercion. Very important topic. So in Ksuvos Pei Zayin and Aleph, the Gemara has examples of kofin ala mitzvahs. And, you know, it was quite serious. So one of them was to build a sukkah. Not to sit in the sukkah, but to build the sukkah. So it's just fascinating that in the Rishonim, they don't speak so much about this, but in the, you know, literature of the Tanaim and Amoraim, we have several references to the significance of the building of the sukkah. And that's very peculiar, because we all know that the mitzvah of sukkah is yeshiva, the sukkah. Let me just highlight it in a few of the implicit applications, very quickly. The Mishnah in the first paragraph of Sukkah, on the Tesson Aleph, records a debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whether there's a din of lishma in the sukkah. In other words, is the sukkah that you sit in to fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva the sukkah, does it have to be built l'shem, right? Mitzvahs sukkah. Yerushalmi, oh, sorry, the Mishnah verse. Sukkah yishana, old sukkah, right? Sukkah that just happens to be standing. Beis Shammai poslin, right? Beis Shammai disqualified. Beis Hillel machshirin. Age of the sukkah yishana, what does it mean? Old? Kol shasal karim l'chag shloshim yom. Avlim asal l'shem chag, apilim etkilas hashana k'shem. You're very diligent and you start building your sukkah way in advance, even before the 30 days. That's fine, even according to Beis Shammai. Otherwise, the sukkah should be built within the time period, because Shloshim Yom Lifnei HaChag is always that's the sphere of influence of the Chag, right? It's reflected in a bunch of things in sukkah and in Chag HaPesach, Chag HaMatzos. We have it in terms of some concrete issues in addition to the halacha of Shloshim Yom Kodem LaChag, Sholem Bedarshin, Binyanei HaChag. So if it's past 30 days, you need Lishma. That's Beis Shammai. What about Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel seems to disagree. The Yerushalmi says, Tosfos quotes it, Yerushalmi tani tzarech lechadish suki yishana Beis Hillel machshirin, Yerushalmi tani tzarech lechadish badavar. Chavraya omrin tefach, Rav Yosef omrin kol shehu. Even according to Beis Hillel, you should be mechadish davar in your sukkah. How much? Kol shehu al pnei kulo, or a tefach? That's a debate. So it seems like, never mind, Beis Shammai, right, which is significant enough. Even Beis Hillel, who we paskid like, according to the Rishalmi, have some sort of notion of lishma when it comes to the sukkah. And again, that's very fascinating because we're talking about the creation of the sukkah. We're not talking about sitting in the sukkah, right? Sitting in the sukkah is a question of mitzvah trichas kavana, lo trichas kavana. In addition to that, you know, because the Torah says in that second, you know, formulation in Parshas Emor. The man yevu doroseichem, she besukas hashachtis pnei Yisrael v'otzio osam me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's a very unusual thing that the Torah gives tami and mitzvos, or seemingly, right, in order that people should know. So the Gemara already thinks that that's important in the beginning of Sukkah, and Rabbi Hananel emphasizes this more, and it became known, you know, over time, as the famous view of the Bach, that there's a special requirement of kavana or tzrichos kavana. The question is it some other kavana or is it integrated into mitzvah tzrichos kavana? The yeshiva besukkah, you have to be aware of what you're doing, and maybe even if you say it's connected to mitzvah tzrichos kavana, have to do it l'shem mitzvahs. You have to do it l'shem mitzvah sukkah. But that's not what we're talking about in Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, and Yerushalmi. We're talking about how you relate to the sukkah itself. Let's take it a step further. Rashi suggests that even according to Beis Hillel, if there's no lishma in the sukkah, l'shem sukkah, at least there has to be a lishma in the building of the sukkah, l'shem tzeil. It should be for the purpose of the tzeil and not stam a building. Moreover, this, we're not going to go into details of this, is a topic in its own right, obviously, but we have, with respect to Sukkah, the din of Tasa v'lomina Asa, right, which means that you have to build in a certain order, right, you can't, you know, it can't be ready-made, you know, you can't all of a sudden discover, right, a prefabricated Sukkah, right, the Sukkah has to be created. Tasa v'lomina Asa. That's a Mishnah in Sukkah, and the application of that, and people have all these, you know, questions, along the Maisa, if you can have things on top, you know, for the rain, and if you pull it back and forth, and all sorts of other interesting issues, if you make your skach before your walls, etc. That's what keeps the rabbi busy this time of year, these kind of issues and questions. All that is based on the important theme of Tasa v'lo menasai. So again, if we're talking about a chetza shel sukkah in which you sit to fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, so the order of creation of the sukkah, the lishma, nishba levatel, kofin, all of these things, never mind bracha lasiya, bracha and shechianu, seem to be very strange. So what is really going on in this mitzvah of sukkah? So to explain that, I'd like to go back to the psukim which I referred to just a couple of minutes ago, and look at it from the other point of view. On the one hand, we have all these indications that the that building the sukkah is significant. It's not just the hechsher b'alma, and how you build the sukkah, how you relate to building the sukkah, all of that is very important. At the same time, I believe that everything is in Parshas Emor. So if you look carefully in Parshas Emor, again, the status of sukkah, chagas sukkahs and sukkos, is very, very striking. Again, I started off by saying that there's a special connection between Yom Kippur and sukkahs, which is why we build the sukkah the immediate aftermath of Yom Kippur, right? And the context of Hilchos Sukkos, we make reference to, you know, to having just finished Yom Kippur. We say it twice for both reasons. It's interesting, if you look in the Parsha, maybe the two most striking treatments in Parshas Emor, I'm sure I've spoken about this here in the past, is Yom Kippur and Sukkos. But for parallel, what I call parallel opposite reasons. Right? With regard to Yom Kippur, what's unique about it is that the Mikra Kodesh, which is the generic reference to every Yom Tov, is connected to the specifics of Yom Kippur. That's every other Yom Tov, Mikra Kodesh, Kol Malachas Avoda Lo Sas. When it comes to Yom Kippur, it's Mikra Kodesh, V'nisim Esnat Shaseh. I've spoken about that in the past. I think it's a very important so. So the point is that Yom Kippur is unique, singular. The idea the Torah is trying to convey, and the Rambam, I think, picked up this nicely, is that Yom Kippur is not a Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, which is the view of some Rishonim, but it is really just Yom Kippur. Achas Pashana, it's unique, it's inimitable, and there are all sorts of important applications and implications for that, and how we relate to the Kedushas Hayom, even the fact that we call it Itzumo Shel Yom, is all connected to that idea. With respect to Sukkos, that's the second or the parallel other most uniquely treated holiday in Parshas Emor. But not so much because of the first formulation, but because there is a whole second formulation in which Mikra Kodesh is almost completely muted. So the first time the Torah speaks about, and I believe if you put them together, it's like, again, the Torah itself is telling us, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, you know, they're opposite parallels. They are opposites, but they're opposites because they're connected, and each one enhances the other. So when it comes to Chag HaSukkos, we're told, "Vaydavar Hashem Moshe Leimor, Daber B'nei Yisrael Leimor, B'chamish Asa Yom, B'chodesh Hashvi, Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yomim Hashem." That's it. No reference to the Maisa Mitzvah. Very unusual. Matzah, we're told to eat the matzah. Shavuos is all connected with Sphira and other things. Just Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yomim Hashem. Then you have Bar Yom Arusha Mikra Kodesh, Kom Lecha Savonu Lo Sasu, Shivas Yomim Takrivu Ishel Hashem, the Karbonos, Biyom HaShmini Mikra Kodesh Yel Hashem, Shmini Atzeres, Vivkach, Mishel Hashem, Atzeres, Kom Lecha Savonu Lo Sasu. But there's no reference to what you do at all. Nothing. Then you have the seeming wrap-up, Elam Odeh Hashem, because in the sequence, right, Sukkos is the end, because it starts with Pesach, Shabbos is the end of Pesach. So, Elam Odeh Hashem, et shartikra osom mikroi kodesh, lahakir vishal Hashem, olam minchal zevak minsachim, vayom biyomo, and then we more karbonos, and then a pasuk lamites, you have the second parsha, which you don't have anywhere else. Ach, and it begins with an ach, the same way that by the way, the Kippur begins with an ach. Right? Both are miut, and both are undoubtedly connected intended to remind you and to connect the two of them as opposites. Ach, ach, right? Ach b'kamisha sayom, ach of no simcha, or no obvious expressions of simcha, to the ach of simcha yisera. Ach b'kamisha sayom lechodesh hashibas, b'chem es fuas haaretz, tachogu eschag Hashem shivas yamim, b'yom harishon shabbason, b'yom hashmini shabbason. Here you don't have Bikur Kodesh, right? You just have shabbason. And then you have the parsha which didn't exist at all in the previous one, namely Lulav. And Lukachna Bachem Yom Rishon Priya Itzadu Kapos Tumor Banat Itzavos Arvinachol Smach them, right? Lepnei Hashem Lekechem Shivas Yadim. The Chagosim Oso Chag Lashem Shivas Yadim Bashana Chukason the Dorsechem Chodesh Hashit Chag Oso Basukos Teishvu Shivas Yadim. Kol Ezrach Yisrael Yeshu Basukos. Right, here's where you have the only time that Sukkos, the mitzvah of sitting there, is formulated. Leman yedu dorasechem v'tameh mitzvos, just like in Yom Kippur, by the way. You have ki yom kippurim hu, you have a tameh mitzvos in Yom Kippur, you have a tameh mitzvos in Sukkos, right? Ki besukkos asraftis b'nei Yisrael, ba'otzi asom eretz mitzrayim, ani Hashem alokeichem, v'idaber Moshe asmoide Hashem b'nei Yisrael. That's the wrap-up. That's the end of the parsha, the second formulation. So what's striking is that it's only in the second that we have the galavina, and that we have basukkos mitzvos shibasot. Chagasukos tasalacha shivas yamim. That's a formulation in Pinchas. Again, that's kind of in between, right? This is just the list.
Ray, Ray.
Sorry,
that's in Ray.
Oh, in Ray. I'm sorry. In the parsha of Regal. So the only time that the Torah really formulates yeshiva basuka, which is what we do, is here. And of course, this formulation is the source for all the unique dinim of that mitzvah as well. Teishvu kein taduru, the kulas and the chumras, both, which we'll discuss very briefly in just a minute. Question is why? And what is the Torah trying to tell us with this delay? First is sukkos, chagas sukkos, and then they're only delayed, only in the second iteration, right? Teishvu basukka. By the way, the same pattern is found in the Mishnah, and the Gemara, and the Rambam. The Mishnah in Sukkah, the Masechta is organized, starts with the Chetzah Shel Sukkah. Sukkah Shei Gavoah Lamala Me'Asur Ama, Psula, right, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, She'ena Gavoah Asar Tvachim. We start off with the dimensions of the Sukkah, and, you know, the whole first parak is about the Schach, and about the Tefanos, and, you know, about the, you know, Silosim Beru Mechamasa, all the, you know, Sukkotach HaSa'ilan, all these things. It's only in the second parak, the beginning of the second parak is also related to some of these issues. Ayoshin Takas Amita, somebody is discussing some of the issues of yeshiva basuka, but in a negative way, like who's patur, what doesn't work. Right, then you have the Mishnah, finally on, remember this Masechta, like all Masechtas, begins on the base, right? So the entire discussion of Sukkah in Masechet Sukkah is from base to Lamed. Right? Lamed is the third parak, that's Lulav HaGazal. That's a transition to the Dalet Minim. So base to Lamed, right? On Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, we finally have a Mishnah, right? Shluchei Mitzvah Peturim Min HaSukkah, who's Potter Min HaSukkah? Cholin, Misham Sheyen, Peturim Min HaSukkah, Ochem V'Shosin HaRoi, Kutz HaSukkah. So when we finally get a Mishnah, right, that speaks about Dinim of Yeshiva Basukah, instead of telling us who's mechuyav, we find out who's patur, right? And the exception, you're allowed to eat outside the sukkah. It takes until daf chaf ches on the base. I'm just telling you, mishnayos obviously, but it's the same in terms of the structure of it. Obviously, the mishnah on chaf ches on the base again. There's only one less than approximately one daf left, right, from daf base to daf lamed to discuss in yanei sukkah. So that last daf on Chaf Chesu Beis, we finally have the Mishnah that says, I would have begun the Masechta with this Mishnah. And it's not as wise, I guess, as a Chachmei Besorah. Kol Shivas Hayamim Adam Osa Sukasa Keva Ubei Sarai. That's the first time that we have the positive formulation of Yeshiva Besukah. And then that's also immediately followed by Yordu Geshamim Be'em Asai Muta Lefanos. Look at that in a second. When can you evacuate? When you get the drops, you know, the spoiling, you know, that good soup. Right. Mashalama adavar dome, the evet shabal limzo kos l'rabo v'shachaklo shafaklo kiton alpan. A particular favorite topic of Avigdor's, right? Kiton shalmai. It's like the Barishon's throwing a pitcher of water, you know, in your face. Then the Gemara finally, you know, expands on this formulation. This is chaf chesom base. Again, you only have till chaf tesom base because lamed already is. All these days, right, you're supposed to make your home a roi and your sukkah keba. Ketzad. Hayilo kelim na'im malon l'sukkah matzos na'os malon l'sukkah ochel v'shosa v'tayel v'sukkah. That's also a very fascinating braisa. Again, finally get to it after I would have started, I would have thought the mitzvah yeshiva v'sukkah. You should, to be the first Mishnah. You want to spend a little time on the sukkah? Fine. Second Mishnah, third Mishnah, beginning of the second parak. Right? The very, very end, we're finally getting to yeshiva b'sukkah, after every din of chatzah shel sukkah has already been exhausted. And then when we finally get to the formulation, so what would we expect? That the mitzvah is to eat and to drink and to sleep in the sukkah. Instead, what's the first thing that the b'raisa, that the Gemara's b'raisa tells us? Kol shiva seyom anamosa sukkasa kevo besa roi. That's the concept. Ketzad. So the first thing you think of, right? You eat and you drink in the sukkah. Ketzad. Hayulo kelim na'im. If you have beautiful accoutrements, right? Utensils. Mala the sukkah. Matzos na'os. The, you know, tablecloths, I guess. Kelim na'im. Mala the sukkah. And then, ocha v'shoso v'tayo the sukkah. You know what I mean? The Tanur Rabbanon teishvu kein taduru. The kan amru kol shiva sayalim osarim sukkah kevla. Ubesaro ketzad hayilo kelim na'im malon l'sukkah matzos na'os malon l'sukkah ocha v'shosu v'tayel v'sukkah. The same exact pattern in the Rambam. Now that's, you know, you say, well, what's significant about that? What's significant about it, of course, is that the Rambam doesn't shy away from reorganizing and reformulating. Right, that's, you know, that, that's what we do for, you know, for a living. Is just try to figure out, you know, what it is, why the Rambam changed the order, why the Rambam, you know, rewrote the Masechta. The Rambam doesn't shy away from doing that. In this particular case, the Rambam is true to the order of Mishnayos. Right, the Rambam Perdalet Shir Hasukkah Gava Ein Pachas Betzar Tvachim Lo Yasser Al Eser Mama. The whole fourth parak, right, is discussing the topic of schach and building the sukkah. And the dimensions of the sukkah, right? And then you have the fanos, then you have more schach. In the fifth parak, the Rambam has 4, 5, 6. The Rambam has 4, 5, and 6. Those are the prakim dedicated to sukkah. 7 and 8, again, are the dalad meaning. So again, the Rambam, the master organizer of all time, we would have expected that he would start with a formulation of the mitzvah. Instead, nothing in parak number 4, nothing in the fifth parak. When you get to the sixth parak, so the sixth parak begins. Second. Sorry. Let's see, it's a pretty big parak. Yeah. The exemptions, right? Kolomim Shamsheim, Avel, Shluchei Mitzvah. Finally, parak Vav, Halacha Hey, right? And there's not much more. Right? The parak ends. You know, Tezayin. So Perek Vav Halacha Hey is when the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of sukkah. And how does he formulate it? Very fascinating. With two halachos that basically are the two brisas that I just read. Why he formulates both is itself very interesting. Ketzad hi mitzvah sa yeshiva b'sukkah, Perek Vav Halacha Hey. She yia, at least has the order, that at least he changes. She ochal v'shosa v'dar b'sukkah kol shiva sa yamim, bein b'yom bein b'layla. Right? Keder shudar v'beisa v'shar yimos hashanah. Right? You switch your headquarters, you relocate. What you do normally all year round in your home, you do in the sukkah. Except that, at least, different than the braisa, he begins with the actual yeshiva b'sukkah. You eat there, you drink there, and here, first formulation in halakha, hey, the Rambam doesn't mention Shena. He just mentions dor, which is a broader term, let's say. More encompassing term. V'chol shiva sayamim, osa adam es beis aroi v'sukkas keva. Shenemar basukos teishvu shivas yamin. Ketzad. The ketzad is from straight out of the braisa. Kelim anaim umatzaot hanaot basukah. klishtia, etc. That's the ketzad is the brisa. The formulation is the achila and the shtia. Then, for some strange reason, the Rambam in Halakha Vav seemingly repeats three quarters of what he just said. He repeats again in Halakha Vav. Uchlin, v'shosin, here he has yeshenin, you sleep in the sukkah. Kol shiva, bein b'yom v'bein b'layla. Asur lechol suda, but here he already has, formulates more nitty-gritty details. Right, you're not allowed to eat chutzal sukkah, kol shiva, elim kenachal, achila saroi, kebeitza, papas, yasuma, ein yeshenin b'sukkah. These are all the details of achila shtia. I always like to explain that halacha hey is the formulation of the mitzvah of what the real kiyum is. Halacha vav is already a practical application of that idea. That's why shena is kind of muvla. It's integrated into the dar. There's no discussion of the bracha. There's no discussion of details and our exceptions. This is the concept, halacha hey. Halacha vav is the implementation of the concept on a maisa mitzvah level. But obviously the Rambam here, and this is not so typical, felt that a separate halacha hey, just to establish right the concept, what the major theme is, separate from the details, is important. Where do you get that from? From the two brisas that are practically identical in the Gemara. The Rambam seemingly was very impressed with the structure, with the organization, and even with the content of the Gemara's treatment of Sukkah. Right? I mean, the Rambam wasn't an iconoclast. If the Mishnah and the Gemara captured the themes according to his understanding of it, he went with it. And just that he often felt that there were other reasons for that organization that he could do better. But here he didn't do better. He obviously is very influenced by it. So what's going on? Why the delay of the mitzvah of Sukkah till the second point in Emor, and why the Mishnah and Gemara's and Rambam's structure, which is very atypical, not only in not beginning with the mitzvah, but in formulating it as he does and as late as he does, etc. What's going on here? I think that the key is also to be found in this reference. But prominent reference in the Brisa, even more so, but also almost equally in the Rambam and Halacha Hey, on the Kalim and the Matzaot Naot in the Sukkah. I think that the idea that the Rambam earlier, that the Mishnah, that the Gemara, that the Psukim are trying to convey is the following idea. Basically, the Torah wants you to understand that the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah is itself an application. And that the real concept, the real mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, is just an expression of the relocation that takes place on this kach. It's Tzei Midiras Keva, right? It's the idea that on Sukkos, your home, your normally permanent domicile, is turned into the Aroi, and this, vulnerable, tenuous sukkah in the backyard, that becomes your headquarters. That becomes the keva. The yeshiva, the shena, all of that is an expression. That's how do you relate to the chetzah shel sukkah to show that for this week, this is your headquarters, through achila, through shena, right? Through being metayelbo, as the Gemara and the Rambam use the expression, to being darbo. But the focus is not so much in each of those actions in isolation, or any of those actions in isolation, as much as it is in this perspective that for this week, you live outside. You live in a place where you require extra hashgacha. And I think, particularly, that's explains these phenomena. In other words, the Torah wants you to first know that the idea of Sukkot is simply to have a Chag HaSukkos, Shivas Yom. And then later, only later, to explain to you that the way that you manifest this, of course, is Basukos Teshu Shivas Yom. But to say it right away, right, would be to imply that it's the main point is a Maisa Mitzvah, to sit in the Sukkah. And that's not correct. And of course, this impacts the Mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah too. Right? As we know, there's a major debate among the Rishonim. When do you make a bracha when you are in the Sukkah? Right? The Balei Tosfos, the Ravid, the Shulchan Aruch, are of the opinion that only when you eat a certain amount. And other Rishonim, like the Gonim, the Rambam, right, were of the opinion that whenever you go and spend time in the sukkah, that's a fascinating argument. You don't have any other major, you don't have a basic argument about when you make a bracha on the matzah, or when you make a bracha on the tzkiyah shofar. Right? It's a very huge argument on a very important point. But the point is that, and even those who suggest that the bracha is reserved for achila, so some poskim will say, and let's say a person takes a, let's say he's fasting on sukkah, so if you're allowed to fast on sukkah, he has a tiny schala, whatever it is. So the Taz says, well, in that case, in that particular day, you'll make a bracha, you know, by just simply being in the sukkah. So which is it, right? I mean, the Ravid's issue is in terms of Ovelasiyasa, and the Rambam has this famous comment that, you know, you make Kiddush on the night of sukkah standing up, because he felt that, in order to say Leishid Basukkah, you know, you know, it has to be Ovelasiyasa, and you have to be standing, and then you sit down. The Ravid said, that's not the point. We don't mean Leishid sitting, we mean Ikva, we mean spending time in the sukkah. So it's before eating. But for the Ravid, even for the Ravid and Rabbeinu Tam, they're makbid on the achila because they think that that expresses yeshiva. But it isn't achila. There's no, the pasuk doesn't say anything about achila. The Ritva has a discussion. Why don't you, I mean, the other Rishonim too, but the Ritva says, I really think that maybe in theory you really should have made a bracha for sleeping in the sukkah too. The only thing is, you never know. You're going to fall asleep. You're not going to fall asleep. You know, so for technical reasons, you don't make such a bracha. But the point is that yeshiva basukkah understood in this way, you know, has a broader meaning. Either way, it would have a broader meaning. Pure mitzvah, but it's about relating properly to the sukkah. Again, without going into detail, because this is a much bigger topic, but the sukkah is a very challenging to understand. You know, the mitzvah, yeshiva b'sukkah, is very challenging because we have such seemingly opposite, you know, evidence. On the one hand, right, the people are very makbid. The Mishnah says there were, you know, tanaim and other people very makbid not to have anything outside the sukkah, not a drink of water, not a slice of, you know, chocolate or fruit. Obviously, you're allowed to. That's considered achilas aray. But there were people who had this kapeta. On the other hand, you find tremendous chumras associated with the sukkah. Yerushalmi tells stories of people who are, you know, holchei drachim and other things that are patur min sukkah, but they just couldn't do it. They just wouldn't eat. They would walk very far until they'd reached their sukkah. On the other hand, you know, we find tremendous kulas associated with the sukkah. Bitzdaris patum sukkah, cholashim basakana, nohu mishamshayim are p'tur min sukkah. The, you know, the chasan and shushbinim are p'tur min sukkah. You know, again, what constitutes mitzdair? All sorts of tremendous kulas. And how can they exist side by side? So the Ran has an interesting comment where he says, you know, don't think the Tanoim, who were makbid not to have a, you know, glass of water outside the sukkah, they're not greater, you know, more makbid in mitzvos than the ones who weren't makbid. They just had two different perspectives on what it means. This probably doesn't say so clearly, but I think it's what it means. But it's not that, oh, he's makbid in the sukkah and he's makel in the sukkah. It very much, there's a certain, like, subjective element here, like, that's like, do I feel that by drinking outside the sukkah, like, I'm undermining or betraying the requirement, right, that the sukkah be my headquarters? It highlighted, I think, in a very interesting exchange, Rabbeinu Manoach and others. Let's say you eat less than the shear of what's required. Let's say you only make a bracha in the sukkah for eating. And let's say you eat less than the required amount. Let's say less than a kibbutz. So, sorry?
Pachos.
Yeah. So the, well, we don't want to take the Yom Kippur connection too far. The point is that you make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. So there are some Rishonim will say, you don't make a bracha. The others say, well, make a bracha, as you say. And there are, that's okay, I can understand those positions. The fascinating middle position is, it's up to you. How can it be up to you? Can't be up to you. Either you make a bracha, either you're obligated to make a bracha, or you're not obligated to make a bracha. But I think in sukkah, it can be up to you. Because basically, the question is, how do you perceive, how do you relate, right, to the sakhila? And that's what the kulas and the chumras are talking about. Meaning, the mechayiv of yeshiva b'sukkah is to make the sukkah your relocated headquarters during this time. For everything that implies symbolically, about your reliance on hashkacha and so on, etc. How that is influenced, so of course there are objective requirements, and then there's flexible, you know, middle ground, where it very much depends on how you perceive the things that you're doing. If that's the case, so we understand, again, the order, why does the Torah delayed a sukkah stage to it, but we also understand the Mishnah, because the focus is really on the sukkah, right, as a place. And of course, you express your connection to that sukkah by doing all the things that you associate, that we associate you doing with your home in the sukkah. But that's why the focus on the chetzishel sukkah, moreover, as we said before, the binyan ha-sukkah, because that's the relocation. It's more than a heksher. It isn't the mitzvah, but it's the heksher. Not only that, but that's why when the Brisa finally gets around to formulating what sukkah is, so what is it? What's the first thing that it tells us? Ketzad, right? Kelim na'im matzaot na'ot. You take your finery, right, and you put it in the sukkah. First thing should have been, right, you have to eat in the sukkah, you have to sleep in the sukkah, you have to be metayel in the sukkah. No, but it's all about moving your headquarters. So what better way to express that than putting your you know, the things that are particularly endearing to you, or that make a home, you know, not just a house, I guess, but a home, namely your kelim na'im and your matzaot na'ot. Again, you know, in our part of the world it sometimes rains, so you know, it's not as easy, so maybe you have to find you know, other ways to express that idea. But both in the Braisa and even the Rambam, who again, switches the order just a little bit, right, zeroes in on that point. Because it isn't just, oh, noi, or zekeli vandeu, so you have a sukkah and it's also nice there. That's part of, if you bring the things with you that you don't need, right, you don't need them for eating and for drinking and for sleeping, right, then that's, dafka those things highlight that this is the environment, you know, of the next 7 days, the proper environment. So it's fascinating also, I'll try to finish up in a couple of minutes, but it's very fascinating that when we talk about the rain, right, which sometimes comes, so the Mishnah, yeah, so the Kol Shiva Sayamim Adamos Sikasa Keva Besa Ra Yardu Gashamim. Why is Yardu Gashamim right away in this Mishnah? We finally got a couple of words out about the Yeshiva Basukkah. So the first thing we have to hear about is the rain. Yardu Gashamim Me'ema Saimuta Lefanos Mishatisra Chamekva. This word Lefanos to me always struck me as being very fascinating, right? You know, being of military orientation, you know, it sounds like an evacuation, right? You evacuate the sukkah. So, what does it really mean? So, there's a fascinating Hagos Hashri. Hagos Hashri says that the Mishnah is talking about when you have to bring in the kelim na'im and the matzaot na'ot. I mean, it really is an evacuation, right? Not just that you go inside. What justifies not just going inside, but taking your environment with you? Because that's really the halacha here, right? It's raining, so the headquarters, if you had a leak in your, you know, in your living room, you'd probably move to the kitchen, or maybe you'd move to a different house, right? So staying in the sukkah, you know, when it's raining in a significant way, right, is not a good chumrah. That's, you know, the... You know, that's what they quote the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi didn't say it about this, but the Rishonim said it about this. You know, that Nikra Hedyot, if a person, you know, thinks he's being, you know, Machmir, no, sometimes they call Machmir, Tavol Bracha, sometimes we say, you know, Nikra Hedyot. In Sukkah, you find both. No one ever said that a person who's Machmir not to eat or drink anything outside of the Sukkah, no one said that that's Nikra Hedyot. And the Mishnah says that's a wonderful thing. And the Tanaim and Amoraim who were like walking, you know, to get to their sukkah are not criticized. But if you're sitting in the sukkah when it's raining, right, in a significant way, so, you know, again, unquestionably you're sincere if you're doing that. You know, you don't want to let go of the mitzvah. But, you know, if the whole point is the environment and the headquarters and whatever, then you're partially defeating the purpose. That's why it's Nikra Hedyot. It shows you don't understand fully the purpose of the mitzvah of sukkah. So according to the Hagos Hashri, it refers not only to leaving the sukkah, but to bringing the kelim na'im and matzaot na'ot with you. Moreover, this language again, in the Salacha, I always thought, is connected to the other Mishnah. The Mishnah Mem Chesam and Aleph in Sukkah says as follows: Sukkah Shiva Ketzad. Sukkah Shiva, sorry, Ketzad. The 7 days of Sukkah, what is that? So what would we expect? We would expect, you know, some nice formulation about the obligation to relocate into the Sukkah, to live in the Sukkah, and so on. All right, we had that earlier, but still, what's the Ketzad? Instead, the Mishnah understands it as referring to the end, the termination. Like, what does it mean that it ends at 7? Gomar milechol, right, when you finish eating on the 7th day, lo yatir es sukkaso. Don't dismantle your sukkah. Right? Abo mor, it's a kelim, and a mincha l'malam, ibnei kvod yom tov ha'achron shokha. You can start taking out some of the kelim, right, towards the end. There's a certain tension in the Mishnah. Right? On the one hand, you have to prepare for Shmini Atzeres, and it's important, we'll get that in just a second, to close the books on this chag and on the sukkah. Because Shmini Atzeres, there is no sukkah. At the same time, you can't jump the gun.
You didn't say that.
So there are several points here. Number one, sukkah shiva ketzad, why does the Mishnah make it sound like this is about the 7 days when it's about the end of the 7 days? It's a strange, from a literary point of view, it's a strange usage. Secondly, this tension. Gomar milecha layatir sukkaso. Of a modus a kelim. Why dafka removing the kelim, right, is the answer. And what's wrong with gomar milecha if you're not going to eat anymore on the 7th day? So what's wrong with taking apart the sukkah? Isn't the sukkah just a hechsher? Isn't it just a kli for the performance on the mitzvah of yeshiva of the sukkah? So Rashi says, well, you never know. Right, you might want a snack, you know, a bigger snack. So don't dismantle your sukkah before it's time. Right. The Ran has a very famous formulation here. The Ran says, it's nothing to do, let's say you do 100%, or you have access to other sukkahs. So it's not going to be a question that you're going to be left without a means to perform the mitzvah. Nonetheless, says the Ran, you do not dismantle the sukkah. The sukkah is supposed to be up for 7 days. So then in the sukkah, what do you mean a din in the sukkah? If the point is that for these 7 days you live in your sukkah, that's your headquarters. So whether you're actually there doing something, you know, is beside the point. Of course, we would like you to do things to manifest your presence there and that this is serious. But until the 7 day period is over, it's still your home. It's still your headquarters. Whether you're there, you know for sure you're not going to eat anywhere else. You have access to somebody else's sukkah. It doesn't matter. That's still your home until the very end. Of course, once you get the tension between Shmini Atzeres and Hoshana Rabbah, so you have to do something. So how can you keep the sukkah up, but still show that you're preparing for Shmini Atzeres? The answer is, you attack the environment. You take out some of the kelim, because the kelim, as we explain, right, we're all part of that, right, establishing that this is the environment. So indeed, that's very significant. But don't do it too early, only to mincha l'mala, in the shadow of the upcoming Shmini Atzeres. Yeah.
Would this approach support the ideas that you have machlokas, I think one time that you have 14 meals in the sukkah?
Yeah, so let me...
You have to own your own sukkah, would that...
Excellent, very good, 100%. So Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that there are 14 meals in the sukkah. Right, count them. 14 meals in the sukkah. Only 7 days, really. So, 14 meals in the sukkah. And Rabbi Elazar was also of the opinion, according to the Gemara, that you should build your sukkah for 7 days. Since we don't paskin this way, neither of these do we paskin like. You don't have to have 14 meals in the sukkah. Right? You could have more, you could have less, but it's not necessary. And we also paskin that if you didn't get a chance to build a sukkah, you know, you can build it during the chag, or you can build it knowing that, you know, it's going to be dismantled during the Chag. You don't need 7 days. But what about those deos that say that there are Meirosh, we know there are 7 days in the Sukkah. Or, even more so, again, you can only build a Sukkah for 7 days. And a whole slew of deos in the Gemara, which we're not going to go into detail, that you need a Sukkah which is Roy L'Shivas Yom. Now, the Sukkah Roy L'Shivas Yom is a very fascinating concept. And it gets into all sorts of issues, like, let's say, of a sukkah that can't be used on yontif, because it's muktzah for certain things. So they even, Rishonim would think, that if there's a din of roi, l'kol shiva, it's undercut, it's undermined, even by a din d'rabbanan. That's in the secondary debate. So again, how can a din d'rabbanan undermine Roy L'Kol Shiva, which according to these views is a din daraisa. And what do we mean by why Roy L'Kol Shiva, all or nothing? Like, what's it all about? Exactly. So, thank you. That's exactly how I think it needs to be understood, which is that the mitzvah of sukkah isn't just, you know, discrete achilas and shtiyas and shenas. Right? It's about relating to this as your headquarters. I think that's also a little bit different than the achila and the shena. The shena especially, I think, has that aspect of it. You sleep in your home. It's not just a mitzvah that you're doing. And maybe the fact that there's no bracha is actually better in a certain sense. Because bracha we associate with a ma'isa mitzvah. It's more than a ma'isa mitzvah. It's relating to this environment in that way. And therefore, it's a seven-day thing. Just like the Ran thought that it has to be up all 7 days. You know, the Ran, again, is not dependent on Roy L'Kol Shiva. We don't pass the Roy L'Kol Shiva. Ran's just saying, if you have a sukkah and it's up, you have to leave it up till the end. Even if you're not using it, because it's still significant. Its presence is significant. So too, Rabbi Eliezer and all these other Mandamrim felt that there's a 7 day, it's a whole week. So it has to be a week package in the eating, in the building, right? And very possibly Roy Kol Shiva. That explains the Drabanan part of it too, because in the end of the day, we don't really care why you can't use it all week. The important thing is, it's not an effective alternative headquarters. You haven't relocated if the place that you're going to be in can't be used for 1 day, even if it's for pragmatic reasons. Well, I'll take it one step further. There's a big debate among the Rishonim whether your sukkah has to be roy l'chol ha'davarim. What do I mean by roy l'chol ha'davarim? Let's say you can eat there, but you can't sleep there. Right? So this is the view of the Urayim, and the Mordechai quotes it, and it got quoted in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch as well. If you're going to build your sukkah in a place where, because of listim or other things, right, you'd be too timid, you'd be too worried, maybe legitimately, timid isn't maybe the right word. You know, you'd be sensible enough not to sleep there, so you can't eat there either. That's the view of the Urayim, the Mordechai, the Ramah quotes this as well. Chacham Tzvi has a very famous tshuva, the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch all quoted the Shari Tshuva, knows they all quote it. He says, I don't understand this. You can have a sukkah for achila and a sukkah for sleep. There are many people who have a sukkah for just for sleeping. If your sukkah is sleepable, then having another sukkah for sleeping probably isn't a problem. But the problem is, how do we understand this shita that the Ramah himself seems to endorse? Which is that in order to be a sukkah for eating, it has to be a sukkah for sleeping. Right? Do what you can in the sukkah. Why is this greater ambition, right, to ma'akev? But again, if we understand that the idea is as the Mishnah itself expresses it, right, it's chag ha'sukkos shivas yamim, and as the Mishnah expresses it, the idea is that during this period we relocate to this more vulnerable, you know, abode. This becomes our home, and our home is aroi, and this place is keva. So then the idea that it has to be roi, right, for matters of dira, again, it's no coincidence that, you know, l'dayer, what does l'dayer mean? It's like a very generic, you know, kind of a, you live there, you know, whatever that means, whatever that entails. And as I say, even the Rishonim who think it's an achila, which is kaveh for the bracha, even some of them, some of the poskim certainly, are flexible and say, it isn't that, that's the, you know, that's what we zeroed in on to be kaveh, you know, something. But it's about immersing yourself in this environment during that period of time. So if that's really what it's about, so you can understand Roy L'Kol Shiva, you can understand Rabbi Eliezer. Again, we don't paskin that way. It doesn't mean that those ideas are not ideas that are important. I think Mitztair, the Kulas and the Chumras, make sense in this light as well. Again, Mitztair, it's fascinating. If you look in the Gemara, the Mitztairs of the Gemara are all related to the environment of the Sukkah. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch quote this as well. Parushim and Yatushim, you know, all the bugs and, you know, little, you know, other critters and creatures, and or, you know, can be cold in North America and things of that sort. We also apply it to other things, but at least the classic cases, you know, in the Talmud are all cases where the environment is somehow problematic. So cholel mishamshayim is not necessarily within its tire. Some Rishonim think it is, and others think it's a separate tour of Cholin. The Havamina, the key, I think, in this is the Gemara. The Gemara has a discussion about Adel. The Gemara says about an Adel, you know, maybe he's mitzdayer, you know, and therefore he should be patur min hasukkah. And then the Gemara has, like, you know, I forget the language, but something like, you know, he's like he's obligated to overcome it, you know, therefore he's chai. Now the question is, what does the Gemara mean when it says that? So the Havamina, that's the only Havamina that I'm aware of. That where the Gemara thought that his personal, his existential condition, rather than, or in some cases it could be his medical condition, as opposed to the environment of the sukkah, is the problem. The question is, when the Gemara rejected it, what is the Gemara saying? So it could be the Gemara was saying, well, it's Yom Tov, and therefore his avelus should be overcome. But in principle, you know, the some illness, etc., would qualify as well, and Petaris Mitzdayer, and so on. Or that's exactly what the Gemara meant. What the Gemara meant was that is a mitzvah. You know, mitzvah is when the environment is compromised. You know, not you know, this is his problem. I mean, in principle, not overcome it because it's you know, it's a chag, but you know, this is nothing to do with mitzvah. So it depends on how you understand cholam misham sheyem. It depends on those issues. All I'm saying is
it goes to what you said before.
Sorry,
that there should be mitzvah on sukkah. There's no p'tur of mitzvah on for matzah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So that kula, that tremendous kula. So again, Bali Tosa says it's connected to Teshu Kain Taduru. The Ramban has a line which the Achronim zeroed in on. The Ramban is Perish Al HaTorah, which says something like, it says Ezrach Ezrach Rana, right? Meaning it has to be like a certain experience in the sukkah. If you can't, that's how some people explain the Laman Yedu Dor, the Taz and others say that it's based on Laman Yedu Dor Osechet. Right, if you can't achieve, you know, that sense of you know, awareness and focus in the sukkah, so then you're potter. It's chumrah ends up being, you know, a kula. There are differences between these, including some of these issues. You know, would you be better off in the home? But this is just a higher standard for the sukkah. Is it about the environment of the sukkah? I think this is maybe some other year we'll discuss the details of geshem, choli. And mitzvah, because I think it's a fascinating question. I don't think geshem is the same as mitzvah. Certainly not in the Mishnah, certainly not in the Rambam. I think the Achronim later, you know, merged them. But not in the Shulchan Aruch. They're two different dinim. The geshem is about the environment of the sukkah, mitzvah is about a different aspect of the interface of yeshiva b'sukkah and the environment. But I'll take the question just one second, let me just finish the thought. So the point I'm trying to make is that both the kulas and chumras of sukkah are a result of this idea of relocation. An environment in the sukkah, particularly so. And I think that this also impacts on things like noi sukkah being slightly different than books of the sukkah as well. Let me take the questions and then I'll wrap it up.
How does this
explain
the question we had on Mishipas and Mordechai?
Yeah, so getting to the Mordechai, I plant these questions in the
it's for sure.
Yeah, so you know, we began with the idea that building the sukkah, right, seems to have been given a lot of stature in the Shachayanu. Again, with a bit of a disclaimer, or a qualifier, in that, you know, you have to look at the parallel cases too. In that sense, it's not the only example of this. But whether it's the Shachayanu of the Bavli, or the Bracha Nasiyah Sukkah in the Yerushalmi, or the expressions of Nishma Labatel and Tfiyah and the Shilkos and so on, the building of the sukkah, right, seems to be given a lot of prominence. Not only that, but l'shma, even for Beis Hillel and Tassav Lo Ben Asui, something about building the sukkah is important, much more than a routine hash. And then I also mentioned that interesting Mordechai, when Mordechai says, well, Bizmanenu, if most people or a lot of people or enough people aren't building their sukkah, then, you know, you should save the Shechiyanu to Aikasa the Kiddusha, even for the people who are. So I think the idea is that, you know, in all of these, that again, the building of the sukkah, we now understand, right, isn't just about making sure there's a hechshel sukkah so you can do the mitzvah of yeshiva of the sukkah v'tocha. That's a regular hechshel sukkah. It's really about the process of this relocation. And if the relocation isn't just to be out there, right, it's to take initiative and to do that. I also think that the context, the double context, meaning, or the reciprocal context, of Yom Kippur and Sukkot becomes important, because I think that's part of what this is all about. Right, in the aftermath of Yom Kippur, you know, you have this greater sense of of yourself and your spiritual destiny, and part of that is expressed by a certain, you know, ability, you know, of faith, a certain a capacity, you know, for putting yourself in a vulnerable, you know, situation, and, you know, eschewing a little bit, you know, some of the more, you know, material aspects of life, even with the kelim na'im and the matzot. No, the sukkah is probably you know, a little more basic than most of our homes. And given that that is so the building of the sukkah, the fact that there's an order to build the sukkah, and a lishma in the building of the sukkah, right? All of that justifies the bracha and the shechianu and so on, because we're perceiving the building of the sukkah itself really as the beginning of this chag, as the beginning of the process of relocation. Again, the expressions, you know, of how we relate to the place only begin on the night of Sukkot, but the process is well underway, and it's going to serve us well, you know, because we built the sukkah and we made this effort, we took this initiative. So then, when we actually move in there in a doma, when you build a sukkah, and then you move in there to seeing it as a relocation, that if somebody else is building your sukkah and you just happen to, oh, you know, it's time, come home from shul and, you know, you make kiddush in the sukkah. Ah, that's true as long as it's perceived that way. So before I get to the Mordechai, getting back to the Shechianu, so Bali tells us he would have a suggestion that the building of the sukkah will be the Shechianu for Kedushas HaChag, the Kedushas HaYom. That's an amazing idea, because after all, they say the building of the sukkah is for the sake of Yom Tov, which is true, but it's still well in advance. Where's the tziruf, right? Is it enough of a tziruf? Maybe the answer is just yes, or maybe the answer is there wouldn't be unless we view this process itself and the nature of the mitzvah as relating to this process and this chafetza. So then the building of the chafetza really is, in some respects, an appropriate time to express Kedushas HaZman in advance. But if that's true, so you might say, well, you know, if you live in a remote control society, you know, where everybody is, you know, hiring people to build their sukkahs, so you're the one diehard, or let's say 50%, whatever it is. The question is it still true that the association of building a sukkah, right, is connected to actually relocating and the actual kiyum of that mitzvah? And it isn't just a hechsher mitzvah. The answer, it's a chiddush of the Mordechai, but at least it's an understandable chiddush. I mean, if this were just an objective, well, to have this hechsher mitzvah or any hechsher mitzvah gets this result. A Yerushalmi bracha for Asiya, a Bavli bracha for Shechianu, so what do I care about what my neighbor does? But if that's really not true, and this really is unusual, and it's all about, you know, anticipating and creating, you know, it's the process of this relocation, so then if everybody's hiring people to put up their sukkah, right, so that became, that part of it no longer expresses the Kedushas Yom Tov, and therefore it's much better to make the bracha kasa de kedusha. But where it is interesting is, for example, maybe I'll finish with this, but there's a very big debate about what you do on the second day of Sukkot, right? How you make the brachos in the sukkah. The first day, because of Rav Kahana, so we misader kula makasa de kedusha, right? We hold back and we say the shechianu after the kiddush and after the leisha b'sukkah. The question is, what about the second day? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they tell you that in the second day, you should switch it. You should say Shechianu, and then say Leisha B'Sukkah. And the Rabbi Yah disagrees. Right? The Rabbi Yah says, it's Yom Tashei Yishol Golias. So you have to do exactly what you do on the first day. So, like, how do we understand this argument? What's this issue about? So partially, it's a Yom Tashei Yishol Golias issue. Right? The Rabbi Yah is saying, listen, Yom Tashei Yishol Golias, you want to be serious about it, everything is replicated. In general, that's a Yom Tashei Yishol Golios question, both because it's not Doraisa, and there's even a question, to what extent Yom Tashei Yishol Golios, especially in the way that we have it as a minog, as a kind of a second day, so isn't the Torah as a second day, but acknowledges the first day may not acknowledge the first, I was to say, if you look forward, it's not there, but if you look backward, you know, it is there. So, there's that aspect of it, and that's a different topic. But I think, the post can explain that the reason why the Shulchan Aruch Pesach is compelling, you know, even if you're concerned like the Rav Yoez with Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, they say, listen, in according to Bidina the Gemara,
right?
You can sell the Shechianu when you build the sukkah. So what we see is, and you already said Shechianu last night, so let's say that last night was not Yom Tov. Let's say you take an extreme Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios position like Rav Yah, right, where we're keeping the fiction that maybe it's tonight and not just that it's also tonight, right, but it's not last night. But you still said the Shechianu. So of course it's a little tricky. You didn't say the Shechianu on the building, right? You said it on the simulated or what might have been, or the Safek, you know, Kedusha Sayyam. Okay. But at the same time, if the point is that, you know, weren't you already relating last night to the Sukkah as your relocated headquarters for Sukkahs? Maybe incorrectly, right, from the perspective of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. But you were. So that's how the Poskim explain that you don't need the Shechianu for the Sukkah. Certainly what you did last night was better than building. I don't know if it's better than building, in light of what I said. Could be better, could be worse. But at least we can understand it. So I guess I'll complete to sort of finish with this. But I'll take the question. Yeah.
Not to rain on the Chilukim.
Between Geshem and Mitzrayim. Between Geshem
and Mitzrayim. There's a beautiful story about the Kutzker. That he was sitting in the Sukkah while it was raining. Mm-hmm. And the Hasidim said to him, Rabbi Bechor, it's Mitzrayim. So he said, as melotza, which means if you allow yourself to be mitzvah. So it adds a different dimension to what mitzvah
is. Well, I think people were very passionate. Again, I think possibly, very probably, Geshem is a little different than mitzvah. Mitzvah, I mean, the argument that, you know, that if you want to be mitzvah yourself a little bit, at least certainly, that's not mikra hedjo, I think, you know, is a justifiable argument. I also think it's, by the way, I just to add one thing to what I said before. I said all the cases of the Gemara, except the Havamina about Abel, are cases about the environment of the Sukkah, which works in well with this idea. Although it doesn't have to be that way, the Halacha, for this presentation. But I should also add that they're all cases of Shena, also as accorded in the Rambam and Shulchan. They're all the cases of the Mitzvah. Now, it could be for practical reasons, because, you know, well, so you sit and you eat, you know, you'll go in. You know, Shena, obviously, you know, takes a lot more fortitude, and Mitzvah is a bigger issue. So it could just be a practical point. In general, the relationship between Achila and Shena and Sukkah is a fascinating thing, because on the one hand, again, the bracha we say is on Achila. On the other hand, and Shena was left out of the first brisa, and the Rambam's halacha, hey. On the other hand, the rule is that, you know, Achila Saroi is Mutar Chutz Sukkah. Technically, Shena Saroi is not Mutar Chutz Sukkah. So I always like to say that, again, the Shena, and some of the, I don't know, Bali Musa or somebody, there's somebody out there who says, I don't think it was a Kotzker, that you're allowed to, my father is like has a tremendous love for Kotzk, and I like it too because it's always very sharp, so you can always quote the Kotzk. Somebody out there who says that, you know, the sukkah is like the only mitzvah, they make this point, is the only mitzvah that you can do with your total person, you know, because you're in the sukkah, you're in the environment of the sukkah. So I like that very much, you know. Per se, it's very nice, but especially for what I'm saying, which is not a ma'isa mitzvah only that you do, right? It's you're putting yourself in a totally different, you know, environment. So the shena aspect of that, as opposed to achila, because it isn't a discrete performance, so that's why there's no aroi in keva. Maybe there's no bracha. It has kulas and chumras. Maybe mitzvah is only, it's, you know, part of a different topic, but an overlapping topic, we'll call it. So I think it's very much, you know, that idea too. But Geshem, there are Achronim, there's some famous Achronim who think, you know, they interpret the Gra, I don't know the Gra, the Gra and the Rajba really say this 100%, but, you know, you could read into a Rajba and a Gra the idea that if the, you know, rain is coming into the Sukkah, that the shame Sukkah is upon her. So you're not sitting in a Sukkah anymore. So again, Avigdor, who's a big Kiton Shamayim issue, always likes when I quote the discussion of the Chachma Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger in the Shulchan Aruch, where he discusses the question, let's say it's raining on everybody else's sukkah except yours. I guess it's kind of like the Kutzker, right? So it's a fascinating question, because the way he puts it. Sorry?
It's like the Medrash on Yonah.
The Medrash on Yonah.
Raining, a storm only on that ship.
Here. The other one, yeah. This here, it's the opposite, but yeah. So the post, that's, I'm again from a Kiton Shamayim, like, is the Rosh Hashanah giving you a message? Or giving the world? You know, so I think it's an interesting. question, but the point is whether or not it's a hafkas shem sukkah, or there's no shem yeshiva basukkah. It's not just a tour, right? It's just, but to me, again, that is a function, a little bit, of the ambition of the sukkah. Now, it's not a kula. It's that if you really think, you know, this is your relocated, this is your home for these 7 days, you know, then it has to have, you know, a certain minimum, you know, status. The conditions have to be, you know, acceptable. So the passion of not wanting to, I'm very hypocritical on this thing. I mean, to be honest, I mean, it's, when it rains, you know, I don't like leaving the sukkah either. It's something that, you know, it's a special chag, and we're attached, especially if you like this idea, you're attached to the sukkah. Like, you know, you always want to, you know, wait it out till the rain stops. But the truth is, when it reaches a certain point, it's probably not just an issue of mitzvah that you can be machmir. It really either is hafkas shem sukkah or lack of yeshiva b'sukkah. And at a certain point, as much as you're emotionally, you know, you want to be there, but probably the lumdus really is working against you at a certain point. So I like the passion of it. Well, in the case of the Kotzker, I'm not going to argue.
The lumdus doesn't impact the Kotzker.
Well, he did. That's why we love the Kotzker, because he was in both worlds.
Is it possible that from the psukim themselves, the double presentation of sukkahs, is that one focused on the Dor HaMidbar, in which case there'd be no mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah at all, because they were living in sukkahs for 40 years. So the first psukim, it just presents a yontiv without any specific mitzvahs. Ach, b'chamishas, ba'os b'chem is tvuas ha'aretz. Now you come to Eretz Yisrael.
Some people say that it's a connection.
Now you observe the mitzvah of sukkah.
I think it's interesting, and I like it. I would just only want to add one thing, and that is that, again, you have to look at sukkahs, you know, in context of the rest of the parshas ha'mo'adim. Mm-hmm. In other words, all the other mo'adim are formulated only in this way, and l'dorei dora. So it's not as if... So I think what you just have to add is that, in this case, that historical dimension... You know, highlights, you know, the lumdus. So, in other words, if you're living in a sukkah, you know, so you don't need, I don't need to tell, it is chag sukkah.
Right.
And you know, when that's more artificial and you need to create that or simulate that, then you need basukos teshvu shivas yamin. So I like it, I would just say, but it isn't just like history and practice, because that's not true for the others. Mm-hmm. And I'd also just like pure history and the parshas and mo'adim outside of the narrative. But I think it's very good in explaining the two aspects, you know, given that context. Yeah.
Some years ago, you mentioned that sukkahs were simultaneously assigned the Tivoli cycle, the regular cycle, and the Tishrei cycle. So you've established Yom Kippur sukkahs part.
Yeah.
How does Rosh Hashanah fit in that, or is that just a warm up for Yom Kippur?
No, well, I don't want to speak about Rosh Hashanah now, because
it's too late.
Whatever, but next year. I mean, I think Rosh Hashanah is very much a prerequisite of Yom Kippur, but in the Chag of its own right. But, what?
It's just simply that, then, that Rosh Hashanah...
No, I think it's more than... Number one, I think... I'll just tell you two things very quickly, but one thing, I think Rosh Hashanah is like a super Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh itself, just like the Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, those are also two poles. So you have, you know, you have the Shabbos, and then you have, you know, the Moad, you have, you know, Matzos and so on, Matzos Shavuos. Then you have Rosh Hashanah, which I think is, if you read the language in Parshas Amor,
and some of the...
It sounds like a Rosh Chodesh. And of course, it is a Rosh Chodesh, and you know, Bekesel Yom Chagenu, Eza Chag Sha, Chodesh Miskasabo, and then you have like tangible expressions of it. I've spoken here about that before Rosh Hashanah. So that's number one. So that is also a pole, meaning you have Rosh Hashanah, and then Yom Kippur is its Shabbos Shabbosom, where it's connected to Yisr Malacha, and again, its Mikra Kodesh is different, and so on.
And the three are called Shabbosom.
And then you have Sukkot, which is a Shabbosom. You know, in the second iteration of it. So I think there's that also, and there's a lot more to say, but...
Next year.
I'll take the questions, and then we'll wish everybody a martel.
How is the idea of decorating your sukkah fitting for this?
So, very well, I think. So, again, I think I made a quick allusion to the noi sukkah and the din of muktzah noi sukkah, but right. I think that the decorating of the sukkah is, as opposed, it's more than the regular zekeli banveyu, you know, hider mitzvah. Because like the kelim na'im and matzaot na'ot, it's really about making the environment of the sukkah, you know, something that, you know, is your headquarters. And therefore, I think we do find much more discussion of it, and the idea of muktzah of it, and so on. And, the, you know, the idea that some of the you know, depending on where it is, it could be batel to the sukkah, whatever. I think some of those things, some of those dinim, right, aren't just standalone, independent halachas. I think part of them, some of them at least, make sense, specifically in the context that, well, this noi, right, making this an aesthetically appropriate place to be your headquarters, albeit in a much more modest way. Maybe that's part of the post Yom Kippur, you know, then the transition back to the year. But still, kelim noyim natzot noot, and the noy sukkah is more than zekei libaneu. It's part of that environment. So 100%, I think. I don't know whether you say l'shem yuchud kutcher brichu when you put it. You wouldn't do that. Nora Duda wouldn't do it either way. But the I do think 100%, and looks of it and things. I think it has greater, it assumes greater significance. Yeah.
Do you find any differentiation between your sukkah and some of the other sukkah?
Say that again.
Do you find any differentiation in the halacha between your sukkah?
I mean, whether it's desirable to have your own sukkah, that kind of a thing.
Like, for example, you mentioned about Achilas Arai, you know, you show that this is your dearest kepa, so if you could sit in someone else's sukkah for your Achilas Arai...
Well, I mean, firstly, in terms of, obviously, in terms of being Yotzei, Mitzvah, Sukkah, we pass that you can sit in anybody's sukkah. There are deos in the Gemara, as you know, part of them are connected to the, you know, Tachem Lachem, you know, the connection between Lulav and the sukkah, which is also a fascinating issue. You know, the sukkah has two nice mitzvahs, and how that... You know, works out is also an issue. But there are deus in the Gemara that think that there's a requirement of lachem in sukkah.
So if you build someone else's sukkah, would you say shechianu, or even,
if you build someone else's,
I think I was asked before, I'm not 100% sure. It doesn't. It says that the language of the Gemara is ha'osa sukkah li'atzma. And I think part of the mentality of the Mordecai is that this isn't, even if somebody's building your sukkah, it isn't like a personal. So my instinct is that you would not, because it isn't just about, you know, creating, you know, the mitzvah. It's about you already starting this process. But I can't say that I have, you know, indisputable evidence, you know, one way or another. I don't think, you know, people speak about it. I don't recall. But the language that goes, osa sukkah le'atzmo, I think we should take it at face value, especially if you understand it this way, and align the Mordecai. I think it's it makes sense that it would be limited to your own sukkah. Now, if you're eating and somebody, let's say you have a part sukkah with somebody else, that might be a different issue. Because we do paskin, you don't have lachem in the sukkah. So then you're a relocated headquarters for this day, is your joint thing. But this is, for example, a big issue about, you know, a shul sukkah. You know, how lachatchila b'yevin that is. Again, it's very important to have a shul sukkah, obviously, because, you know, that people, again, does b'neinu not as much, because most people have sukkahs, but certainly, you know, in previous times, you know, there are some people who only could gain access to sukkah through the shul. But, you know, l'chatchila, if you could, should you have your own personal sukkah, certainly, definitely valid.
When it comes to yeshiva, so it doesn't really matter whose sukkah you sit in.
In the act of yeshiva, but if the act of yeshiva is, you know, this real... And I wouldn't say to somebody, don't go to guests, you know, for a meal in sukkah.
I don't think.
We don't paskin that way, but I do think there's a certain value in having one for sure. Again, there, you know, there's always the pressure and counter pressure can be a situation where it's difficult. That's a different matter. But most important thing first to have access to doing mitzvahs properly and so on. But if you ask me, is it like a crazy chumrah or does it make a lot of sense that a person should have a, you know, personal sukkah? I think it makes a lot of sense in the context of this. Yeah.
You had mentioned that doing the mitzvah sukkah is the only mitzvah that you can really do with your whole body, to put yourself in that environment.
Yeah.
So why would it be considered tefillah b'mikvah?
I guess it would. Tefillah b'mikvah is a good example. You're right. I was quoting somebody who had said that. I guess they meant tefillah b'mikvah. Very good. 100%. I have two. It's a good one to be with. It's interesting because Yom Kippur is the day of Tahara. And actually, it's a nice idea because Yom Kippur is the day of Tahara. You know, so the idea that, you know, sukkah is also has a kind of a different one, again, for its own, in other words, it's calibrated for its own theme, but in a way that's parallel to that part. Interesting. It's a good point.
Yeah. I think the whole body thing is probably in connection with the minhag of going into the sukkah to say a bracha alul of an esrog, so that everything should be completely
sealed. I don't know. That's an interesting question. It's clearly a machlokas. You know, among the Rishonim already. Again, the Rambam, when he talks about making the bracha v'lulav, makes it clear that you should do it in the context of halal, in the context of tefillah. There, the other view is to try to like integrate. That's what I say. It's a topic in its own right. What is the relationship between? You know, they have this discussion in Poskim also. If you're, you know, if you're in jail and they only let you do one religious performance, you should choose the lulav or the sukkah. So that's an interesting question. But I, what I heard this idea about the whatever is people without the lulav. But Mikvah is a good example. Yes.
So the
chiyuv
to eat
after
the first night, would that be establishing the sukkah space though?
Yeah. So I think also that again there are two views on that. What's the, you know, the tesvav, etc. So one school of thought is, you know, that's especially the way that many people paskin, that you, all you need is kazayas, you don't need kibetza. And if you take it, you know, one way to look at it is that all, you know, week long, so it's this change of headquarter idea, and then there's a difference between keva and aroi, and for example, geshem, and, you know, mitzvah, these are all factors, but that first, you know, achila, besukka, like the eating of the matzah, that's a maisa mitzvah, and that, you know, that the regular dinner mitzvah maybe doesn't apply, etc. That's one way to look at it. I personally prefer to look at it the other way, and I think the Rajma says it explicitly this way. Certainly if you hold it, you need a kadetza on that first one also, but even if you don't, I think the idea is, it's chagasukos. So to establish that it's chagasukos right at the beginning of the chag for the entire 7-day period, so you have to start. That's once you've started, so then the rest of it, you know, ibayachil, ibayloyachil, there's a certain flexibility in measuring, you know, whether you're doing it or not. But to set the tone, and frankly, so you might say to me, you know, so where's the tesvav to matzah? Ah, so it's not before Pesach now. I would usually have a shir before Pesach. But I think the idea is that in matzah too, as we've discussed many times, the Torah Shebichtav says that it's Chag HaMatzah Shivas Yamim, right? But really, you know, the Torah Shebaal Peh tells us you only need the first kezias. So I think one way to look at that is, that first kezias, and this is very typical of the front-loaded, what I call the front-loaded aspect of Pesach, as opposed to Sukkot, which is, you know, evenly distributed to the 7 days. It's a 7-day Chag. You know, Pesach is that first day, and it lingers, you know, on the impact of the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the point is that it is Chag HaMatzos Shivas Yamim, because right at the beginning you eat that, the impact of eating that matzah. It's Bayer of Tokel Matzah. It's right at the beginning, and that sets the whole tone. So I think that's a Tesvav in Sukkah too. Again, it's reformulated because of its own themes. But what we learn from Chag HaMatzos is that right at the onset, you have to start, you have to make a kumbase beginning to set the tone, and then everything that follows, you know, has a certain context. So that's why I prefer to think that it isn't just that there's two dinim, because where are the two dinim? In the Torah, there are two dinim. You know, it's hard to say that. But rather, you know, no matter what we say about how you express this relocation, the rest of the Chag, which explains a lot of the nuances, you have to get it going. And that has to be right at the beginning of the period, so it's that 7-day period of Chag HaSukkos. I wish you all a Gemar Tov.
Is there an minion? Ready here?